Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast, featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's gonna be boo-boo this entire time, I'm gonna be mad.
Howdy and welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Yanda, here with my business partner, Bobby Hoyt. And yo, we're back, second back-to-back episode. We've got Scott Schieffer here, our CPA, our favorite CPA, and also a tax attorney here to tell you all things taxes. And, you know, this is not always like probably what people would assume or would view as the most exciting topic in the world. But we think it's really important, and we think it's so important that we wanted to have Scott be our first guest. And Scott, I mean, you really like taxes. Like, I always get that feeling, like, you get excited about taxes, which probably
does that make me a geek? Does that make me a geek? If it does, hey, I'm okay with it.
We're all geeky in our own way, but I just love, you're probably like one of the few people in the world that just like gets all excited about taxes. So, but I get it.
It's interesting though, because like when Scott sends me an email, there it's like usually bad news bears emails, like, oh, hey, do you remember you've got this tax payment coming up, right? And I'm like, oh my God, no. Why is this a thing that I have to pay like this? So it's, but he's all excited about it. He's all upbeat. Like, oh yeah, this is great. You just got to pay this thing. I'm like, oh God.
I want to let Scott take over as soon as possible. But one thing that I would love to point out that I've learned and I've noticed since Bobby and I, you know, became business partners is, well, one, you know, we're very different. We're very complementary. We're very similar in a lot of ways. But when it comes to taxes, Bobby gets really depressed and I get kind of excited. And so when we find out like we have to pay more taxes, Bobby's like, dang. And I'm like, hey, if I'm paying the government money, that means I'm making money. And so there's a smile on my face and I don't mind paying it at all. And yeah, and Bobby's just like, you're ridiculous.
You're a fool.
So it's just,
if you get
funny.
Excited about that, you're a fool.
I choose to have a positive outlook on life, Mr. Bumblepuss over there.
No, I'd rather feel the crushing realization that the government is taking my money from me without my authority.
They heard that.
Yeah, I know. I'm sure you did.
In coins, Bobby, maybe you can just roll up a huge dump truck and dump the coins.
Well, can we do that? That's one of those things I want to ask. Like, we'll get into that. Like, ridiculous questions you can ask your.
It's a great thing. Why, you know, before we get into this, and Scott's going to drop a whole lot of knowledge on us, but it's great to have a CPA because you can ask questions. Like, you can ask, can I do this? You know, I think one that I think about a lot now that I have, you know, a business credit card is like, can I deduct this thing? Like, what can I, you know, if I'm doing this thing with a client, is it deductible? Or, you know, is this something, you know, that's something I think about a lot and you don't know. And there's been times where I thought something could be deducted and it couldn't. And there's been times where I had no idea I could deduct that thing. And that's really exciting to me.
The latter of that is always more exciting for the CPA, right? When the client didn't think they could deduct it versus like, what? I had to buy clothes for my job and they had to look nice. That's not deductible. It's like, no, sorry.
Yeah, you know, that's one of those things that I think a lot of people probably have a misconception on or about when they're talking to a CPA or talking about, you know, taxes. A good CPA is not going to tell you to do anything illegal or stupid. Like if you ask a question and you say, hey, can I do this? They're going to give you a measured response if they're smart. And they're going to tell you exactly what you can or can't do. So if you're like, well, how can I avoid paying taxes? Like they're not going to answer that question because it's a stupid question. You have to pay taxes. But I think, you know, that's one of those things that a lot of people that maybe don't have experience with an accountant, like there are questions that you ask and sometimes they'll answer it very candidly. And sometimes they mm-hmm. don't because it's not smart for them to answer it very candidly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to find someone that you're comfortable with on your risk tolerance. You know, there's this old joke. Mm-hmm. There's this old joke about like the client comes in and he says, well, I'd rather pay you than the government. So you figure out how to lower this. Big red flag. Like if a CPA is telling you, no, you're going to pay me, you know, extra instead of the government. Okay. Maybe within reason, you know, you're going to pay more than than you would doing it yourself. But when it's more of a direct payment, you're like, okay, there's something fishy. This is sounds like we're in Greece or something here. So, but
yeah. And a good, I feel like a good accountant, you know, I've only worked with two so far, and both in, you know, you and my previous accountant were very good, but I think a good accountant will look out for you and themselves at the same time. You know, they don't want to give bad advice to people, and they certainly don't want to teach you how to dodge taxes. And so they, right. You know, I feel like a good accountant is going to care about your business as much as you should and tell you how to do it the legit way instead of, like, you know, evading taxes and going to jail or something crazy.
But a good CPA, from my perspective, also asks you questions around things that you may have done that can help you save money.
Absolutely.
And yeah. and so I think something, I think a lot of people, they feel like things when we talk about things like tax deductions, and they think like, oh, I'm keeping money. Like I found a loophole to keep money from the government. No, it's like, that's the law. Like it's you're legally able to go do this thing. You're not being shady. And I think some people feel right. like it's shady, but no, like there's certain things you can do and there's certain things you can't. And if you can do something and it allows you to save money that you earned, why would you not do it? And so I think right. it's great to have, you know, your CPA is like your business money sensei, and they can tell you what to do and what not to do. And that you can be confident that you're doing the right thing. You're doing the best thing, the legal thing, but the one that's going to help you, you know, have more money to reinvest in your business over the long term.
Yeah. Scott, yeah, I know you had a lot of things you want to talk about, so just go ahead.
So go ahead and jump in.
Take it away from us.
You're talking about business owners and all the issues, but I think let's take one step back and, you know, if you are a W-2 employee and your spouse is as well, and you have, you know, no business income, then go to a CPA. He's not, he or she's not going to be able to find something magical, right? It's extremely straightforward. And it absolutely is like, okay, this is what you owe. Now, when we're talking about a business though, that's where I think that this podcast and the community that you're creating is very useful, because people can learn from one another about things, about taxes and everything else. But specifically with taxes, I mean, the IRS test is ordinary and necessary. That's what they say is deductible. So, I mean, well, what do those words mean? Ordinary, necessary, right? I mean, there's a ton of litigation around that. We're not going to get into all of that per se. But in general, one thing I would first think about is if you have a business, you want to track your expenses, because those, whether or not you know they're going to be tax deductible, once you meet with your advisor or do more research, then you can figure out, okay, well, maybe, for example, meals, if you took a client out, well, the rule from the IRS is it's only 50% deductible, but you're going to have tracked it. Even though you're not going to be able to deduct 50%, you're going to be able to deduct the other 50. So there are a lot of, and then, okay, another classic one, mileage. Clients come to me all the time. You know, they tell me how many miles they drove. If it's a very even number, you know, it's kind of like, well, okay, you know, how closely are you tracking it? If it's exactly 10,000. Right? Like, so, because if you get audited, that could be something that they look at, your mileage log book. And some clients are like, I don't want any risk. And so I don't want to take very much mileage at all. Others people's like, yeah, I drove all those miles. And I, you know, I know I did. I know what the miles are on my car. So that's one area where it's a little bit more, there's more discretion, and you can kind of take your own temperature about your risk tolerance and what you want to try to deduct.
Well, and I think the biggest thing that you said there is like, you should be tracking everything you do. You should be tracking the money that's coming in and what it's coming in for. And you should be tracking the money that's going out and what it's going out for. And that's everything, like from when I think of like an online business, that's everything from the subscription software that you use, maybe email marketing platforms, landing page platforms, the hosting for your website. You know, there's so many different things. If you're paying contractors to do work for you, anything like that, you should be keeping a good record of that, because you're going to need that to figure everything out. And, you know, a lot of that, you're going to be able to say like, this was a business expense. And what that deduction is I earned this much money, but I had this many expenses. So my actual earnings were this much. And it's a smaller percentage that's getting taxed, which means you're paying less taxes. So I think keeping that record is so, so important. But what other things do you think people need to be aware of or they need to be doing? I'm a new business and I know that I'm gonna have to pay taxes. Other than keeping records, what else do they need to be aware of that they need to be doing?
Yeah. So then you also want to think about, how often do you have to pay the taxes? When you're a W-2 employee, your employer withholds taxes automatically by law from your pay, as you know. Now, you don't really feel it because it comes out automatically. So you start to maybe start to think of your net pay as your actual pay. But in reality, it's higher than that. And the tax is already withdrawn. Well, if you're a business owner, you have to remit those yourselves. And we have to think about that in a couple different ways. The first way is the income tax, which you already know about. But the other is the self-employment taxes, which is Medicare and Social Security. If you're a W-2 employee, your employer pays half of those taxes, and then you pay the other half. The half that you pay is withdrawn from your pay. The half the employer pays, you never even see, but it's paid. And so when you're your own business, whatever size, $100 in revenue, $1 million in revenue, you're going to have to pay these self-employment taxes yourself. And so how much are those? Well, the Social Security tax is 6.2% per employee and also employer. So a little bit of math, we add those together, 6.2 times 2, 12.4%. That's the big one. That one caps out at $128,400 in 2018. It will go up each year by inflation. So what that means is that if you make up to $128,400, you're going to pay Social Security tax on all of that. And if you're in a W-2, your employer's paying half of it and you're paying the other half. Anything you make above that in any one year, whether it's from one job, multiple jobs, you're not going to pay any more Social Security taxes. So that one's capped. That's nice. The Medicare tax is a smaller rate, but it's not capped. The rate on that one is 1.45%. You double it, you get to 2.9%. And that is not capped. So from $0 to $1 million, you're going to pay that tax unless you do a strategy that we're going to talk about a little bit about an S-corp, but not to jump ahead. So you think about your income tax, your Social Security, your Medicare. Well, let's say you have a job and you're in the 24% tax bracket now under the new 2018 brackets, okay? So then you, as a side hustle, you make $1,000. You're like, okay, well, I need to reserve $240 in taxes. Not so fast. You're going to have to reserve the $240, which is going to be your 24% income tax, but also your self-employment taxes, which as we sort of went through the numbers, I know it's hard to follow numbers listening to an audio podcast, but the spoiler alert, the total of those was 15.3%. Your Social Security and Medicare on both sides, the employee and the employer, 15.3%. So suddenly your $1,000 that you made, you owe the government $390 of that. Now, there is a deduction for part of the self-employment taxes, but without getting too geeky, you know, you can expect to pay well over 30% of that to owe that as a tax. And then, as Mike was talking about, one of the things you need to think about, when do you have to pay those taxes? Well, if you owe only a small amount of extra taxes, you can go ahead and pay it in with your return the next year. But if it's going to be above a certain amount, and that's where you really sort of want to get an advisor, a CPA, or someone to help you plan that. But if it's going to be above a certain amount, you're going to need to pay it in quarterly, which I know Mike and Bobby love to pay in quarterly. They've just started doing so.
Yeah. That was one of those emails that I was talking about earlier when I was like, you know, I was like, hey, Scott sends me an email and it's a sad time email. You know, Scott, I would like to go back really quick. We touched on it a little bit, but I think it's massively important. I think it's one of those things that newer entrepreneurs think about a lot, but they're not sure what to do. When it comes to actually recording your transactions that come in and out of the bank account, you know, I'm on QuickBooks. And you have access to my QuickBooks. And actually, once the business started to get really big, I actually handed that over to Scott to basically code all of my expenses and all of that. But what do you recommend somebody that's new? Do you recommend that they do FreshBooks, QuickBooks? What program do you recommend that they use to actually track their expenses? And do you have any tips around that?
Yeah, there's so many different options. There's some that are free, and then there's some that are going to be pretty expensive. I mean, QuickBooks Online now, their new pricing is $60 a month. So that could get pretty expensive if you don't have a very robust business. So I would start with a system that you're comfortable tracking and maintaining, whether that's in Excel or a Google Sheet that you have in the cloud so you can record things, or Mint is an option that is sort of a scaled down version of Quicken. A lot of people love Quicken. Now, Quicken changed their pricing too, but there's always going to be competitors that are coming in if you're willing to, try something new. I don't have one that I would say for sure that's going to fit each scenario, but I would say, whatever you're comfortable with, maybe start with Excel if you don't have a lot of transactions. Most banks allow you to download your activity into Excel. And guess what? Then you can quickly sort to like, oh, all the Starbucks or all the payments to your marketing agency. So yeah, whatever that is. So I would, that's sort of my advice, like use something that you can work with and then build up to what you need later.
Let's play a little game called What Not to Do by following Mike's example. And, you know, I've gone through like a progressive growth from doing things wrong to doing things better a little bit at a time. So I, you know, there was a time when I did not track anything. And then when tax season came, I had my tax weekend. And most of that tax weekend, even when I had a CPA, was me going through my bank statements and categorizing and saying, this is this kind of expense. I had this come in, I had this come out, and documenting it all and then pulling out my calculator and going, I spent this much on this kind of thing, this much on this kind of thing, and then sending all of that to my CPA.
With zero error rate, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was absolutely no errors. Perfect. And then I moved from that to a spreadsheet where I was doing that same process a couple, you know, every couple months, you know, to where now, you know, I'm trying to do, you know, the whole fancy stuff that y'all are talking about. So, you know, I will say, don't follow, don't do what I do what I say, or do what these guys are saying.
When Mike and I got together, this is just quick side story. When we got together and started doing business together, I asked him what, I was like, so what do you do? QuickBooks, FreshBooks, you know, what do you do? And he's like, well, I've got like an Excel spreadsheet. And I've never done that in my business. I was like, what are you talking about? You do an Excel. I did. I was like, oh my God. And that's when I was like, yeah, we got to get you with Scott. you know, but I think, you know, every business owner, especially if you're successful and your business grows, I think everybody runs into, well, maybe not, but I've run into that several times. Scott can tell you, where I didn't categorize my things, you know, my expenses the way that I should have, because it was like, you have so many other things to focus on where it's like, mm-hmm. I've got this whole other business to run. You know, I know what I'm spending, what I'm not spending, but then you go back and look at it and maybe you're a month behind or 2 months behind. Then you go, holy crap. I don't remember what this check number from 3 months ago was that, like, you know, and you have to go back and do the research. So right. I was just going to say, like, do it more often. Go ahead.
Yeah. Some of these things, I'm not trying to talk about ticky tacky things like, oh, was that business supplies or business envelopes? Yeah. I'm talking about big picture things that can really trip you up. For example, what I've seen before is someone will be using an accounting system that they've purchased, maybe from QuickBooks or whatnot, and they don't know accounting. And so then things like their additional capital contributions are put in as income or a loan. And so suddenly, if you don't have like a system that you understand, then you could be reporting income and paying taxes on it that you never actually had, because it was actually you just putting more business into the more cash into the business, which is an income. So that's important too, to sort of know, like, any system you have, or your advisor needs to understand how it works.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, well, I think with all of that, you need to, I think as a business owner, especially when you have a side hustle, something that a lot of people do is, I made money, I'm going to go spend it. Right. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this now from so many different CPAs where they'll talk about situations where somebody came in, they were doing their taxes and it's like, you're going to owe this much. And they're like, I don't have that money anymore. I spent it. And then you're in a really, really bad spot. And so as much as I'm kind of poking fun at like how I was going back through my bank records to do everything, I think one of the things that I've done well is I've always taken every bit of money I've had and I set a portion aside no matter what. I know, you know, one of the things that I've done is like, I early on, I did not move any of the business income over into my wife and I's personal account until I paid my taxes. But what I've done now, you know, when you're paying yourself a salary and we do all that kind of stuff, I've always taken 35% of what I earn, like more than a third of what I earn, and put it into a separate sub account. And I pretend like it's gone and it doesn't exist and I don't touch it. You know, I'm paying my quarterly taxes out of there. But, you know, even before I was paying quarterly taxes, it was all there. My CPA would do all of my taxes and say, this is how much you owe. And I would pay it out of that account. And I never had a situation where I didn't have the money because I was always putting more money aside than I needed to. And what it created was that was like, as a business owner, you don't get bonuses. Right. Like when you're starting when you're a solopreneur, you don't. So that for me, it was always like all of a sudden like, oh, wow, I've got $10,000 in here that I had set aside for taxes and I already paid my taxes. yay me, I got a $10,000 bonus. And it created a good feeling around taxes, which I thought too, like I've always had a good experience around taxes. And I think that's one of those reasons is that I was always looking forward to see how much was left in that bit that I put away. And so I think in addition to tracking everything, making sure you're earmarking money for taxes and probably earmarking more money than you think.
Yes.
Because it's better to have more money left over than to not have enough money to pay the big dog.
Yeah. And I will tell you, you're rare in that though, Mike, like, because many people, you know, the first year they maybe they have a side business or they're a 1099, they're not a W-2 anymore. So they're a contractor. They're left with this huge tax bill. And there's nothing worse than having to pay taxes on money that you've already met, that you made over a year ago and you've already spent. Cause it's like, I mean, it feels terrible. So, I mean, and interest rates are pretty good now. So like a millennial money man reader, you know, they're on top of like the guaranteed rates, the highest online savings rates. So you can put that tax account into one of those accounts and then, you know, make a little money on it as well. So,
I put it in a high yield account just like that, 3% or something like
exactly.
that. Yeah.
Perfect. I want to go back a little bit to also about structures, because we've talked a little bit, but just in general, I know a lot of people are going to start their a side business and they may have an LLC. They may not. They may just have a sole prop and do a DBA. And one misconception that I hear from a lot of clients starting businesses is like, what can I deduct if I have an LLC? What additional deductions do I get? Well, one would be the cost of forming the LLC, because you're going to have to pay something out. But other than that, from a tax perspective, the same deductions are eligible for you if you're a DBA and you're a 1099 contractor with just your own name, John Doe, a business owner, or a fancy LLC. And so while I definitely, you know, and we've talked in a prior podcast about the benefits of the LLC for liability protections and also sort of getting yourself more credibility in the marketplace, I wouldn't want you to come away from this tax episode and think that there's all these new tax deductions at the LLC if you remain an LLC. Now, I want to talk a little bit about an S-Corp that's an add-on to the LLC that would be different. But yeah, so that's sort of the first thing that I wanted to lay out there.
Well, why don't we talk about that S-Corp thing? And in the previous episode, if you haven't listened to the previous episode yet, we talked about LLCs, DBAs, and S-Corps and what you should do. And so that's a really good framework. Like maybe you want to pause this and go listen to that if you haven't already. But, you know, okay, so if you've got an LLC, you've got a DBA, it's the same. But when you do that S-Corp election, it's different. It changes how you do your taxes. And in a lot of ways, it allows you to save money and to keep more of what you earn. So can you go into how that actually affects things and all that stuff that we need to know?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first step is to know that an LLC is a state-created entity. So whatever state you live in, you will obtain an LLC from that state. Then you will separately apply to become an S-Corp from the IRS. It's in a federal tax election. It's not a default for anyone. You have to apply for it or you don't receive it. And there's a lot of things you need to know about the timing of that. So for example, if you want to get the benefits of the S-Corp, then as Mike was talking about, you have to have it in place when the income is coming in. Yeah. So that's the first thing to think about, that you have the LLC as a state-created entity, then you could make a federal tax election for the S-Corp. Now, why would you want to do that? I know that talking numbers can be a little difficult on audio podcasts. We're going to post a PDF that shows these calculations, but just big picture, what I want you to think about is the fact that income taxes are the same. LLC or S-Corp, same income tax. The difference is the self-employment taxes that I was talking about earlier. The S-Corp is a legal loophole. The word loophole is kind of got a bad name, like, you know, like it's a scam or something, but it's legal. Clients love the word loophole though, right? Like, it's like a juicy, you know, they come in and like, oh, I've got a loophole for you. And they're like,
yeah, oh, I found some kind of special thing. Like, oh God, this is why I hired the CPA, found my loopholes for me.
and there's of course a perception out there that, you know, there's all these loopholes that everyone doesn't know about, but you have to, that you can find, you know. But anyway, so it's a legal loophole to have an S-Corp where you can limit the amount of self-employment taxes you pay. Now, as we were talking about earlier, your Social Security taxes are always going to be limited under current law. Now, this could change. They've talked about changing this because someone who makes an incredible amount of money, they're paying the same Social Security tax as someone who makes $128,400. Whatever your top line income is, you're only paying Social Security taxes on $128,400. And that's, again, the 2018 number. It's going to go up each year at a rate of inflation. So then where does the tax savings come in? I said that the income tax is the same and the Social Security is capped for everyone. Well, let's say that you had a side business and you made $100,000 and you know that you could go out there and find someone to do that job and pay them $40,000. Well, then you could pay yourself as the owner of the S-Corp $40,000 in what's called a reasonable compensation. Now, that's a term of art that the IRS defines. And you would not pay Social Security or Medicare taxes on the difference between the wage you pay yourself, in this example, $40,000, and the overall revenue, which is $100,000. So there would be a $60,000 difference there that you wouldn't pay Social Security and Medicare on. Now, let's make the numbers a little bit different, where let's say you had a very successful business, it's full-time, you had multiple employees, you were making $500,000. Well, you could still pay yourself, you still have to pay yourself a salary. Now, it probably need to be more than $40,000. It need to be something higher. Let's say it was $130,000. So you'd pay yourself $130,000. You're still going to pay Social Security up to the max, which is that $128,200. And then here's the difference. So if you checked out, check back in. The savings comes in on Medicare. So the Medicare taxes would not be capped in this example. You would make $500,000 and you would pay 2.9%. Both sides of Medicare tax on all of that income. And in fact, because of the additional Medicare tax that came in under the Obamacare medical plans, there's an extra tax that's 0.9% that starts at $250,000 for a married couple and $200,000 for a single person. So in this example, you're making $500,000. You're going to pay actually 3.8%, which is the Medicare plus the surtax, on over half of that. So then the benefit going back to the S-Corp is that you can cap that. So you wouldn't pay those Medicare taxes on the difference between your compensation, what you would term your reasonable compensation, and then the overall profit. So like I said, we're going to put a PDF on here that lays this out and shows the actual numbers that I think will be useful. But that's sort of the big picture. And that's what people are talking about, entrepreneurs, when they say you need an S-Corp. That's where they're coming up with that.
Yeah. And that's, you know, and like Scott said, there's going to be a download in the show notes. So you'll be able to grab that. You'll be able to look at the transcript, you know, and go through. And I think this is one of those where you might want to read it. You know, so if you're listening to this in the car and you're like, this is over my head, go back and read it when you've got time. I think another thing about taxes that we touched on, but we probably want to talk about a little bit, is this idea of paying your taxes quarterly. And, you know, when should you do that? Right? Because not everybody needs to do that, but a lot of people do. So what's kind of how do you know when you need to pay quarterly taxes?
That's a great question.
The caveat that, like we said in the last episode, and we'll say again this episode, we're just trying to bring awareness to certain issues around the legalities and taxes. That way you can go and be aware that there are some things. You can go consult an expert in your area and then get the real detailed information from them. But then maybe you can go when you talk to that CPA and say, do I need to pay quarterly taxes? So, you know, Scott, if you can give us some, what you think, like, should you be paying quarterly taxes, but just with a caveat, guys, your situation, everybody's situation is different. Go talk to an expert.
Sure. Yeah. So as you know, if you're a W-2 employee, the employer takes the taxes from your paycheck and remits it to the government. You never see those funds. If you have your own business, this money's coming in. And if you're not planning ahead, like Mike was with the tax savings account, then you're going to be hit with the tax bill. So when do you have to pay that? Well, the IRS looks at your tax liability actually at four time periods. The first time period is April 15th of the current year. So that one is the first time you have to pay. Then June 15th, so only 2 months later. Then September 15th, and finally January 15th. So they're not evenly spaced 3 months apart. The April 15th is in place because it sort of makes sense logically when everyone's having to file their tax return or an extension. And then the June is basically because the government doesn't want to give you too much extra time. So then it's only 60 days later. But then September, 3 months later, that one makes sense. And then we go another 4 months to January. And that one makes sense to me because at the end of the year, you're going to know how the whole year came out. But mm-hmm. you can't just remit in January for the whole year. The government's looking at it four time periods, April, June, September, January. You need to remit 1/4 of your liability on each of those 4 dates. What if you don't do that? Well, there's an underpayment penalty. And so that's why you see people paying quarterly rather than just with the filing of the return, because they want to avoid the penalty. What's the penalty? Between 3% and 4%. Now, I've had some clients before that tell me, you know, Scott, I can do a lot better on my money than 3 or 4%, so I'll just pay it. Most people don't take that approach.
I feel like you work with like oil people or something. The way you just said that, it just sounds like
oil. I can't disclose some twang on it, Bobby.
Yeah, I know, but that's what it sounds like, though. I guess.
But if his name was Bobby, it would probably be like Bobby Joe, right?
Yeah, that's what it sounds like.
So basically, you have, and how much are those, how much do you need to remit? Well, it's basically if you owe any additional tax. If you're a W-2 employee, you never thought about these four dates because it was being remitted every month by your employer, every pay period. So if you, now here's one other important concept. You have a year grace period, basically, because the underpayment penalty is calculated based on your last year's taxes or your current year's taxes. So if last year you had all your taxes paid through your W-2 and you did the same this year, and then you made a bunch of extra money as a side hustle, like let's say you made 10 grand, you're going to have to pay taxes in April when you file the return, but you're not going to have a penalty for not paying in quarterly. Now, you're a good CPA or advisor is going to see that you had to write a check, and they're going to say, you're going to need to start making quarterly payments because the next year, your look back year would be the year where you had the extra income. And so if you have that income come in again, you don't have enough withholding to cover it from your paycheck. So you need to pay in quarterly. You could also increase your withholdings from your W-2 job. That's something that some clients will do. If this is a side hustle and it's not your main job, you could just have more and then the employer takes care of it for you. Now on that, you're losing a little bit of timing because you could save some of the money and remit it quarterly. But and in terms of the amount, that's really going to be something that you're going to have to calculate because it's going to vary with your income tax rate. But the key concept that we talked about earlier, you have to make sure you add in the self-employment taxes. Because it's not just the income tax on it. You have to pay the other taxes as well.
Well, I think that's important too. Like, you know, you're talking about the how much you have to pay. You know, you and I have had conversations about, do we base it on last year or do we try to estimate it for the next year and how much I think the business is going to grow? And we kind of decided on, we're going to base it on last year and what we know and then move forward. So I think that's one thing to think about. I think the other thing that's important is people, you know, you mentioned a quarterly payment in April. You know, a lot of people that I know that have gotten into trouble, they pay their federal taxes and then all of a sudden they have to turn around and pay a quarterly payment and they're not ready to pay that quarterly payment. Mm-hmm. So it's important, I think, to think about that aspect as well. Probably a lot of people get into trouble with that.
That's true, because even if you had the money to pay the prior year, you're already going to have to pay part of the next year. It could be a double whammy. And yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah.
So I think that, you know, the main thing is don't let something sneak up on you. If you're making money, guess what? You're going to have to pay taxes on it at some point. So start to plan for it.
And I think this is a great topic. Obviously, Bobby's first business coming from a personal finance world and talking about money and they're being very open about money. But I know for me, just being kind of in the online business world and, you know, maybe a lot of listeners on here, people don't talk about finances. They don't talk about money. And I think a lot of people in their personal finances, they don't talk about money because it's an uncomfortable thing or they don't know what to do. And one of the reasons that we thought it was so important to make Scott be one of our, you know, our first guest and to talk about this when no one is talking about this because you need to think about it and you need to have that tough conversation and with your spouse, if you have one, you need to have that conversation with an expert, with a CPA, and you need to have a plan and you need to know what you're doing. That way you don't end up in a bad situation. It's so much better, like anything in life that comes with money. It's better to think about it and talk about it up front, even if you don't want to, or it feels uncomfortable, because if you're trying to figure it out later, it's going to be very stressful. It's going to put you in a bad spot. And we want all of you that are starting businesses, building businesses, to do it the right way and to be profitable and to make money and have fun. But like, you know, build a real business. Don't build a pretend business. the right things.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
That's a great point.
Yeah. I'll tell you this. Like, you know, I am a personal finance blogger. You won't see me talk about taxes nearly ever on Millennial Money Man. And it's a lot of it has to do with, I have a very healthy fear of taxes and a healthy, respect for taxes. And so I will defer to Scott every single time. You know, I could in my ego be like, oh yeah, I know personal finance, and I could write about taxes and tell myself like, yeah, I know, but it changes so fast. There are so many intricacies. I think that it is that important to where, as a personal finance blogger, I won't even talk about it. I'll defer to Scott and I'll defer to an expert on taxes every time. So if you're a business owner, even if it's a side hustle or whatever, I think you have to have a healthy fear, a healthy respect of taxes. And if you don't, you can get in a lot of trouble. But if you do, then you can be on top of it and it's not a stressful thing. And you, for me, we joked at the beginning about, well, I don't like paying taxes. I'm very fortunate in life. I know that. But I want to make sure that I'm always using a good tax strategy and talking to an expert about it, because that's just, it's just good practice, good business practice.
Yeah. And, you know, left turn here, we're going to talk about relationship advice on Laptop Empires, but I have seen situations where people got into relationship, got married, and one spouse said, oh, don't worry about it, honey, I'm taking care of my taxes. And in fact, the spouse had not filed taxes for years. So you need to talk about this with at least your tax advisor and your spouse, because you're going to get the spouse potentially in trouble. You know, well, I'll leave that to you all to work out in your own relationships, but that's the one relationship where you shouldn't have, you know, any secrets about, you know, are you caught up? You know, I know you've been killing it in your business, but did you pay your taxes? So,
yeah, you know, and Bobby and I are both married and have been married the whole time. Were you married when you started Millennial Money Man?
Yeah, I was.
Okay, yeah. So we've both been married since we started our businesses. And, you know, I think we're both very fortunate to have very supportive wives. And I think something we've talked about, you know, we're very open with each other about things in our business, but we're also very open. Like, we talk about our businesses a lot with our spouses, like a lot. And I think that's really important, because I know a lot of people in the business world that maybe they don't have the support of their spouse, or their spouse isn't as involved as ours are, and it makes things harder. So have those conversations, keep them clued in, at least a minimum amount. And you know, just to kind of, as we're running out of time here, Scott, if you've got something that you really want to, you think is necessary, we need to talk about, please put that in. But the way I'd really like to end it, something kind of fun, is I feel like every time I talk to a CPA, they always tell me hilarious stories about crazy things that clients have done or anything. And maybe you can't do this because of client confidence and all of that, but if you can, I would love to hear maybe one of the craziest stories that you've dealt with somebody in their taxes. But you may not be able to do that, so feel free to totally shoot that down. But I think it'd be a fun way to end.
I could tell a very oblique story about a...
He's a like a personal finance blogger.
Former teacher. Now, a very green CPA myself was... So if you think your books are in bad shape, imagine if you were in a situation where you had to have two CPAs come out at a very expensive rate, because I was working at KPMG, which is not cheap, and then you go to your place of business to try to uncover your expenses. So, like, literally, it was like a forensic accounting. It was amazing. We went into the business and, like, had to, like, get on their computers and figure it out. And so, like, you know, just don't ever get anywhere near that, right? Like, So, and because, the reason we were doing that is because suddenly there's all these taxes. We're like, oh, we got to find these deductions. So don't let that happen to you.
Now, which Scott, brings us back to track everything.
Track everything. Now, there's probably going to be a lot of people that reach out to you and they're like, hey, I want you to be my accountant. I just want people to know, like, Scott has a lot of stuff going on, so he's probably not going to take on everybody as a client. But is there some way that, you know, do you have something that you want people to reach you, or?
Yeah, leave comments on the show, and then we can get in touch, and maybe I can help, you know, answer any broad questions that are broadly applicable. And then we can see if that would be a good fit or not. But yeah, you're right. Like, I'm really fortunate that I've been successful and gotten great clients like you all, but, like, you guys keep me busy. So
I just didn't want people to be offended when it's like. Scott has, you know, CPAs have a client list. They have an amount of time that they can spend. So I don't want everybody to be like, oh, Scott can be my CPA.
Let's end on this note then. We've said you need to consult an expert and you should probably hire a CPA. We've said that in both these episodes. You as a CPA, what do you recommend people look for when they're trying to find their own?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So great question. Get a referral from someone that you can go back to, that can provide a little bit of a check, who has a personal experience with that CPA, so that then when the CPA is buried in returns and doesn't respond to your email, you know, within 24 hours, you know that you can reach out to your friend and like, yeah, have you heard from Scott? It's like, yeah, he told me he's buried. You know, I mean, in that sense, you want some accountability to your referral. So if you do a blind referral on Google, you're not going to have anyone to check in to comment. And we're not on Yelp. Thankfully, like I'm happy to not be on Yelp or TripAdvisor. Yeah. You can't review CPAs. So you need a trusted referral. Then when you go, do not be afraid to ask about fees. They're accountants. We're accountants. We deal with numbers all the time. And we know that, you know, this is something on the client's mind. So don't be afraid to ask, like, how much is this going to cost? Is there anything that could change the cost? So could you do something differently that would lower or increase? You know, that's always an important conversation. So, yeah.
Perfect. Well, Scott, thank you so much for doing this kind of 2-episode series. I think, you know, this is so important for new business owners to think about these things and consider these things, and most people don't. So I really appreciate being on here. I know Bobby does as well. You know, guys, if you want to hear more from Scott, check out our monthly income reports where he will be in there providing tax tips on all of them. Great information plan to help you guys be thinking about different topics every single week or every single month. And then, you know, obviously subscribe to our channel. Make sure, you know, that you're subscribed to the podcast. You're getting all of the episodes. When you're in the show notes, this for this episode and the last episode, you'll be able to download the transcript like you can for every single episode. But it's super important for this one because there's so many numbers. You'll be able to read it over, get a better picture of how this all works. And then, of course, go comment. Let us know if you love the show, share it with your friends. If you've got a question, drop them in there. Bobby and I, you know, if we can't answer it, we'll at least we'll tag Scott in, right? So please let us know what you thought in the comments, and thanks for listening.
Thanks, guys.
You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.
We out.